player I'm going to get mad at you guys about, just so, you know, steel yourself.
Failure.
You take it very personally.
You shame me, guys. You shame me.
Uh-oh.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
So I'm just going with my heart over my head, because my head is stupid anyway.
Prepare for total domination.
Oh, that's just dumb, though.
I've never been proven more wrong in my life so quickly and so dramatically. Recording. July 10th, 2023. It is the sixth podcast of the year and the second podcast of the day. We will be updating you. We appeared on somebody else's podcast, and we will let them announce it, make sure that nothing goes wrong and they're able to get it up, and then we will inform you where we all showed up, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of laughs. Oh, how we laughed.
Yes.
And we're gonna keep it going. Because we're filled with caffeine and Peruvian food.
And vitamin water.
my Gatorade, Powerade Zero. I got my Powerade Zero here. I'm Snap Wilson. Joining me as usual, the rest of the sixth pod bench squad, Robococo, MJ Tolliver. We are approaching All-Star Weekend, I believe 6 short days from now, gathering here in extremely hot and sweaty and windy Las Vegas.
Three showers.
I want to ask how you guys are, because we were just appearing on another podcast. I'm assuming everybody is grand.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Ready to go.
Ready to go. Let's get to it.
Becky's fed, and we're good.
Becky is well fed.
Got to
eat. I am hydrated.
As am I.
There you go. Let's get into it. The typical sixth player of the week that we do, much beloved by us at any rate.
Yes. Yes, we love him.
Yeah. I hope you guys will love it there too, but you know, it doesn't matter. We're going to keep doing it anyway, because that's how we roll. Exactly. Anyway. Yeah. Candidates, Becky, who you
Becky.
Got?
First, I want to shout out a player who has done the reverse this week.
Oh, dear.
Which is Dulce Fancamengiadu.
Dulce!
Who's been coming off the bench all season.
Yep.
Got her first career start and first career double-double, 12 points, 14 rebounds, 2 blocks, assist, a steal.
She is our former bench player of the week.
Yeah, and it's just like it's just great to see. It's like you look at her stats and she just needed more minutes, and she got more minutes, and she really showed out. So I'm just very shout out. She's not eligible.
Fankamaniacs, rise up, make your voices heard.
So the other
real candidates.
The other candidates that are actually eligible. Azrae Stevens, 16 points, 12 rebounds off the bench, 2 blocks, 1 steal. Pretty nice little stat line. Almost fouled out, but didn't. In her one game off the bench this week. And I also wanted to shout out, I think Azrae is going to be my pick.
Okay.
And there's another player who I think someone else is going to take. But I also wanted to shout out Nikolina Milic. Had a couple pretty solid games for Minnesota, including against the Aces, where she was plus minus of 0 in a game where they lost by quite a few points. So good for her. But my official nominee is Azrae.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, there were a few good bench performances in that game against the Aces, but I will let MJ go.
Yeah, I won't kill you with a big list, but I have a few, but I'm going to just say 2.
Okay.
My official pick is Sammy Wickham.
Okay.
I was going to leave to one of you, because I knew someone would have Sammy and her gum performance.
Yeah.
The gum game. Oh.
I wish I had won that game.
Disgusting, and yet powerful.
Yeah. Like all the shoes and basketball bouncing on that part of the floor.
Australians, man, they don't care.
She said, give me this. This is lucky gum.
Yeah.
But, and I'm a go a little lower, but I just want to get her some notoriety here. Mm-hmm. And it's Tyasha Harris.
Yeah.
Bam.
All right.
What you got, Snap?
What do I got here? I'll mention a few people who have just had some nice games that I noticed I picked up. Also in that Minnesota Aces game, Rachel Banham, 10 points, 7 assists off the bench. Pretty nice, pretty nice. Alicia Clark, same game, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Usual Sterling defense. Bridget Carlton against Phoenix, 11 points on 3 of 4 from 3. And my pick for this week, Michaela Onyenwer against her previous team, the New York Liberty, revenge game for her, I guess. 19 points off the bench, 7 of 13 shooting, 5 of 6 from the line, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Very nice. A block.
Stat stuffing.
Michaela, you showed out. She's having a really nice season. And she's having the kind of season, that complimentary player kind of season, you know, making her threes and being like that outlet player for BG.
Mm-hmm.
That is it's great. I love it when players have those kind of complimentary seasons where you could imagine them being successful anywhere, not just like handling the ball on a board on a poor team that's like star for ball handlers or something like that. You want that portability, that you can actually see them staying with it and improving as the team gets better is really nice to see. So congrats to Michaela. That is my official pick of the week. And it's kind of sort of in the same vein, speaking of Michaela Onyenwer, who is a recent WNBA draftee. Where could we be going with this? Well, this is where we're going with this, because we talk so much. We like to talk about the young players in the league.
Where?
Who? Why? Who? Don't know why. Yeah, we're going to talk about the last 4 drafts. And for 3 of those drafts, not 2021, because it was bad, we're going to discuss, we've crafted a redraft, sort of, you know, 10 players, top 10, each of us. We're going to go through it. And the way that we're going to do this is we're all going to list our number one picks. And then where we start to differ is where we will discuss. So
let's get it on.
Let's get, yeah. Let's do this thing. How about that?
I want a right. Clean fight.
Yeah. Now shake hands. Everybody come out and list your draft picks. All right. We will start further back. The furthest back is 2021. 2019. My bad. 2019. Yeah. You are correct. I can't think. The 2019 draft, the draft of players such as Jackie Young, Tier McCowan, Rike Ogunbowale, Nafisa Collier, etc.
This draft was stacked. I was looking through it. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah,
this may be the stackedest. I mean, we're going to have to see with 2022. But this is going to be, this feels like the most stacked of several drafts surrounding it, to be honest with you. I had a hard time stopping at 10, pretty much. There's quality.
Yeah, I have a list of honorable mentions for 2019.
There you go.
Very lengthy, actually.
And then I got to my top 10 for 2020, and I'm like, that was a little harder. Okay. So number one pick, we'll go around the room here. MJ, let's start with you. Who was your number one pick of 2019?
And we're doing a redraft, so. We're
doing a redraft, so yeah.
I have mm-hmm. Nafisa Collier.
Okay. All right. Becky?
I thought this was close, but I gave it to Jackie Young still.
Ooh.
Nice.
All right. I went with MJ. I also went Nafisa, but yeah, I think.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? Me, yeah. I'm supposed to be the homer. Here's just how I see it. We're doing a redraft. We're considering, you know, how much they've played up until now, and then also what we expect from them beyond. Jackie is phenomenal. She is moving up into, I think, all W category. I still think she needs, like, I wouldn't trust, I wouldn't say that she's going to maintain the same efficiency if she didn't have the talent surrounding her. And I think that's okay. That's okay to say that, because you want players that do scale, but I feel like Nafisa has the higher ceiling of leading a team. And that's why I went with her over Jackie. Becky, what led you into the opposite direction? What led you to pick Jackie over Nafisa?
Yeah, this was a year and a half ago, it would be Fee. Mm.
Yeah, but, yeah, right? I agree.
Yeah, I just can't really dispute the results from last season and this season. She's instrumental in getting her team a championship, and Fee's been unable to accomplish that yet. So, I don't know.
That's fair.
They're both very, very, very good picks.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Well, I guess we'll go on. Number two for me was Jackie Young, for all the reasons that you just stated. I think she has been the second player. Okay.
And then, two is Fee.
There you go. All right. Hey, we're getting through this really quick. Number three, MJ, go ahead.
Uh-oh. Orike Ogunbowale.
Okay. Becky?
Orike.
I went with Ezzie Magbegor.
Wow. Whoa. He blew my list up going that high with Ezzie.
I went with Ezzie Magbegor. Yeah, if we're talking about, like, all right, if the goal is a championship, right?
Yeah.
I would rather have Ezzie as a complimentary player, defensive linchpin, which I feel like she is going to be. I think that there is a lot of potential for DPOY in her future. I think that she can be the center and the defensive linchpin of a championship team. She is a complimentary offensive player, but she's a damn good one. She has shown it with good teams last year. She has shown it with not good teams this year. She is just redoubtable. When I compare it to Orike, I have a hard time seeing Orike settling in as a complimentary player, number one. And I have a hard time seeing the offensive ceiling of her with her as a lead on a team.
And that's kind of evident, especially with what Crystal's doing over there. It kind of shows.
Right, they've added talent, and it doesn't seem like they can get over that hump, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why.
How I am as a GM, because I'm just like, I can change her.
Right, there I am. There's my lack
I'm
of confidence.
Get the right
coach, I don't think I can change her.
And I'm gonna, you know, harness that athletic talent into that offensive efficiency, get her to play defense, and we're going.
Right. And that may be the whole difference here is you believe in yourself far more than I believe in myself.
I believe in my hypothetical coach that I'll hire if I were a GM.
And that's right, just what she needs.
Okay. Did either of you have Ezzie at number four?
I did.
Okay. So I had Orike at number four, so we're kind of just swapped on that. MJ, who did you have at number four?
Uh-oh.
Hmm?
Can I change my list on the fly?
No.
I feel bad now. My list is trash now.
Oh, come on. Who is it?
Tierra McCowan.
All right. Okay. So you like Tierra's upside more than Ezzie's?
I look at Ezzie as like showing up this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see going forward, because they're going to draft high. So, I hope they have their pick. We won't get into that. But yeah, I would think that if someone comes in and, you know, like a Caitlin Clark or something like that, will Ezzie still have the same looks? Will they still be depending on her to bring the ball up sometimes or facilitate?
Maybe not that, but she's a great off-ball offensive player. She's a great pick and roll player.
She is. So I'm wondering, you know, depending on who they draft, will that affect her touches? Will that affect her effectiveness or just her usage, rather? Just her usage.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is.
I can see it going down. The defense thing is I think, the key
it is
for me.
Yeah.
And
it means
Tierra
a lot.
Has not anywhere near gotten there yet.
No, she hasn't.
All right.
So my list is now trash.
So you had Tierra 4. No, that's fine. Number 5, MJ, who did you have?
My girl. Okay. That's trash. Marina Mabry.
Okay. Becky, who did you have?
I also had Marina Mabry at 5.
Yes.
Ooh. All right.
Let's go.
Tag team. Close for me. I've had Tira at 5, but I waffled between these two. Okay. I guess I just felt a little more like sure of Tira's at least ability on offense as an offensive rebounder and just doing the things that she can do, that having that level. But I could be totally wrong. And I think even like a, you know, 10%, 15% increase for Marina Mabry would flip me the other way. I had her at 6, so we're not too far off. Okay. What put Marina ahead of Tira for you, Becky?
I think she's put it together more than Tierra has. Yeah, I still see like Tierra McCowan. I had her as my preseason MIP pick because
yeah.
I see a whole lot of potential in Tierra. So I still think she's got a huge amount of upside. She was next on my list. She was okay. 6 for me. But I think Marina's, even though she can be somewhat inconsistent, I think she's got, you know, a huge offensive tool bag and it's just slightly more there than Tierra. It was
right,
close.
Right. That is totally fair. I'm kind of looking behind, looking ahead, and that was like the toughest position for me, that 5-6 spot. So I totally get it. So then MJ, you have Nafisa, Jackie, Tierra, or Nafisa, Jackie, Arike,
yep.
Tierra,
Marina.
Marina. And then who is your number 6 pick?
She's not famous for good things, but I plugged her in there. I put Sophie Cunningham in there.
Okay. Sophie at number 6. Becky, who did you have at number 6?
So I had Tierra McCown.
Oh, you had Tierra. Okay. So yeah, that's right. You just flipped that. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Then number 7 for me was Natisha Heidemann. And we'll get to discussing Sophie in a bit, but who did you have at number 7, Becky?
Oh, I have Han Shu.
Ooh.
Nice. All right,
let's take a minute to discuss this. She did not make my top 10.
Well, Sophie Cunningham didn't make my top 10, or Natisha Heidemann.
Interesting. Nice. All right, yeah. See, this is the differences are what's going to be great. So, talk about Han Shu. Why do you think that she should go above those other players?
I just have her with a very high ceiling. She's still very, very young, and last year just showed a lot of what she can do. I think that I love Teaspoon. She was my first honorable mention, and the end of this list is like, I love all of these players, so it's very hard. And I feel like Teaspoon, I think we've seen what she can do, and I think Han Shu is like has further to rise potentially. And then I didn't draft Sophie Cunningham.
That's also fair.
We talk about that on the other pod.
Yeah.
MJ, who did you have at 7?
Jessica Shepherd.
Interesting. Okay, I had Jessica Shepherd at 8, and I would have had her higher. I'm a hard time staying on the court.
I'm in recency bias mode with that.
Yeah, I eventually let her off. I do know what's ailing her. I'm not going to say it on the pod, and it's not something that is you would expect to be a recurring problem. I'll just say that much. This season, so I'm not necessarily worried about her health. She pretty much played a full season last year, close to it, at least. So that's I was debating leaving her off until I kind of checked the health record, and I'm like, you know what, it's not as bad as it appears to be. So yeah, but I had her 8th. Heidemann, just for me, is she is the last solid starter. I think Natisha Heidemann is a solid starter in the WNBA. I didn't factor in Hanshu's age, and I probably should have given her a little bit more credit for that. And I hope to see her get minutes again so that, you know, we can kind of see if she can hang on to that or progress any, which is not really happening this season. so far. Who did you? All right, you said you had Jeff Shepard. Who'd you have at eight?
I have Ezzy at eight.
Oh, okay. Wow, you had Ezzy way down there.
Yeah, sadly.
All-star Ezzy McGregor.
All-star Ezzy McGregor is eight.
List trash.
Oh dear. It's already flying off the rails. Yeah. Becky, who did you have at eight?
Eight, I have my girl Lana Smith.
That's fair.
Nice.
Talk about a solid WNBA starter.
Yes,
she's
yes.
Done it this year.
She has done it this year.
He hasn't done it previously, but now she's here.
Okay. Thank God.
Okay, I said I had Jessica Shepherd. Yeah, all right, we're kind of now coalescing a little bit. I had Sophie ninth. I think Sophie Cunningham is a good WNBA player, regardless of how we feel about her personality wise or feud wise. She can shoot. She gives a crap. And I think that she, you know, plays hard. She is not a great defender, but she tries. And she's a rotation player, pretty much. Very solid rotation player. She has a history of being a pretty solid rotation player, and that's kind of where we're at. And everybody a little bit below that for me was not sustained, which is kind of what we'll get into. So that she was ninth for me. Becky, who did you have ninth?
At ninth, I had her teammate, Brianna Turner.
Oh, All right. Yeah, this is another one that I debated.
Like, I can change her. She just needs to do a little more on offense. Honestly, with the coaching change, I've seen her take more shots. I think field goal attempts have doubled in the last few games. Really, really, really great defender. She was a starter on
WNBA finals team, yeah.
Yeah, on a WNBA finals squad. She's a great player.
After her first 2 years in the league, she would have ranked a lot higher. And then ever since then, it's just kind of been a little bit downhill for her.
I just feel like she's suffered under the mediocrity of Vanessa Nygaard. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like she knew what to do with her. Like, the only thing they were getting her going with on offense was those alley-oops from Skylar Diggins-Smith. And then when Skylar left, it was just like, well, Brianna, that's fine. Don't make any shot attempts. And to me, that's a coaching problem. If your coach
that's
is
fair.
Like, don't shoot out there and is fine with you never shooting, you know, it's also player, right? You know,
yeah,
but like Arike, it's like, I think if she gets a better coach who works with her and makes sure she's finding what she could do on offense, you know, her defensive upside so high, I would draft her. Would love to draft her tonight.
That is a very good case. I didn't factor in the coach. I think that, yeah, Sandy was probably the best. And she got a lot of those backdoor passes from BG, which just weren't happening earlier this year for whatever reason. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how she goes. And that is entirely fair. It could just be a coach not finding a way to take advantage of what she can do properly. Who did you have at number nine, MJ?
I had Alana Smith at nine.
Alana Smith, there you go. And I had Alana Smith at number 10. She was the last player on my list ahead of players like Turner. Yeah, just this half season, I kind of cut it a little bit because she hasn't had that performance sustained. But I think it's for real. I mean, at least partially. I don't know if she'll be quite the scorer that she was early on, but I do think that she is a very solid player who can do a number of things. Really nice touch on pick and rolls. Three-point shot, showed some defensive prowess, and I don't see why that can't continue, and that is a very solid WNBA rotation player. So I agree with that. Does anybody else want to say some kind words about Alana?
Said my kind words. But it sounds like our lists are based. My 10 is Jess Shepherd. So I think we said almost everyone.
Yeah. I think around the end we started to come through. And who was your number 10, MJ?
Natisha Heidemann.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Full circle.
Talk about few other honorable mentions from this draft.
Oh, for sure.
So stacked. So I had Natisha Heidemann as my honorable mention, but Bridget Carlton from this draft, Katie Lou Samuelson, Kalani Brown, A.D. Durr, and of course, our fave, Mo Birch.
Yes.
2019 draftee.
Morgan.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, Bridget Carlton is like a good player, and she might be like the 13th or 14th best player in this draft, and that is pretty darn impressive that they got so many rotation players. It's very stacked. Yeah. We're going to move down now to one that is not quite so much. And one of my picks on here, you're going to laugh at. But I don't care. 2020, who is everybody's number one in 2020? Becky, who is your first pick?
I went with Satu.
MJ?
Oh.
Oh, did you go Sabrina?
Whoa. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I went Satu, but I had to think about it a little bit. The efficiency this season has, from its lofty heights of the start, has kind of gone down. But she's still playing good minutes, which is like one of the things, you know, even at her normal level of efficiency, just being out there, being able to be on the floor and play extra minutes and, you know, bring the athletic gifts that she has out there, as opposed to, you know, being hurt or whatever. Sabrina was second, just for the reasons of she has had one really good season, but it wasn't as efficient as you thought it would be. And you kind of thought, all right, maybe it's because she was having to do a little bit of everything. This season, the efficiency is still just okay. It's above average. She is a really great shooter, but she takes a lot of shots that are, you know, optimistic, we'll say. And the defense really needs to improve, because she can't continue to be a target on defense. That really limits the ceiling of how successful New York can be. You can't have somebody out there who is that easily hunted. And you know, she says she's not satisfied with it and she wants to get better at it. And I hope that that is true, and that she hits the weight room and really works on it, because that's the only fly in the ointment. That's the only reason I went number two instead of number one. So I'm assuming those of you that you had Satu second, right, MJ?
Yes, sir.
All right, make the case. Go ahead and give us your Sabrina over Satu.
Well, Sabrina was playing. It was my whole thing.
That's fair.
I mean, that's really where my decision rested.
Like, yeah.
If Satu had been playing, she'd be the undisputed number one, because I've been watching her overseas and I know what she's been capable of, but it's just, you got to translate it to the W. But, you know, she comes from playing overseas and then she's not healthy all season. And then what was going on in Dallas, you know, like we spoke about earlier this season with the like preseason, or, you know, like one of the earlier pods for our predictions or whatever. You know, we were like guessing, like, okay, so is Satu gonna spread her wings on Dallas, or is what we've seen what she is? So we're seeing now, you know, and I knew she was capable of it, but I still didn't pick her first, just because, you know, I was.
Are
just
you still
afraid.
Concerned a bit over her health going forward?
I mean, no, this season, no, because she didn't play overseas at all. So
all right,
that her body got that rest time. So especially with the game count going up and everything like that. So I think she did the right thing, and
hopefully
was present
she joins
for
Unrivaled and stays home for a bit.
Yeah. That would be great, actually.
All right. Cool. Becky, what was your Satu over Sabrina? What made you go that route?
Yeah, I think it was a hard decision. And honestly, like, if you're a GM, you may just think the little upside value of Sabrina being a household name is worth it for your franchise to sell more tickets. But I think Satu Sabli is finally this season. We've seen flashes of it. She's started to put it together this season, where we're seeing like more of her full potential.
Okay.
It's always been there, and we've seen a lot of this season, which got me really excited. I don't think they're using her the way they should effectively in Dallas, but again,
yeah, I think she's a floor,
my
honestly.
Hypothetical team is going to have an incredible coach that knows what to do with all our players, and will focus on Satu as their star, because she could be the star of a really successful team.
There you go. All right, and who did you have at number three?
Okay, yeah, this list immediately goes.
It goes. It takes a big nosedive right after the top two.
Yeah.
My number three is the rookie of the year that year, Crystal Dangerfield.
That's not bad.
That's my number three as well. Who did you have? MJ?
That's mine.
All right.
Yeah, but it goes off the rails.
CD, outlasting everybody else, basically. And then, Becky, who did you have at number four?
Number four, I had our girl, Shug Sutton.
Okay.
Nice.
In the six-player race.
In the six-player race, yeah, true. MJ, who did you have for number four?
Okay. Don't judge my list the rest of the way.
It's really hard after the top two here.
Yeah,
so.
Because this list in particular, I based a little bit more around just that year.
Okay.
So I have Kennedy Carter.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you maybe
she was good that
GM
year.
Could actually get her to to play team basketball.
Yeah, MJ also has a hypothetical coach
a hypothetical
that knows
genius.
Exactly what to do with Kennedy Carter.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah, I did not draft her because why? Just really nobody's interested. If the league expands, then there might be, some teams that take an interest. It's just when it gets around that bad where it's like, you know what? Nah.
Yeah.
Then I feel like there's something else at work. I had Ty Harris for the number
nice.
Four pick.
Okay.
And it had Sug number five, and you could easily swap those because Sug has probably done more this year than Ty has in all of the years that she has been playing. I went with Ty because just a little more history, a little more stability. I know what she is. Let's see Sug do a little bit more, that kind of thing. But that's just as far as it goes.
Next
I had Ty number five.
There you go.
I had the same thoughts between them, and I was like, you know what? Shug's doing it this year. Let's draft her.
That's fair. And then MJ, who'd you have five?
I had Shug number five.
There you go. Okay. Number six, Becky.
Number six, I have Joyner Holmes.
Ooh, all right. MJ?
I had Ty Harris.
Okay, there you go. I had Ruthie Hebert.
Nice. Okay.
I'm a Ruthie believer.
Yeah.
I think she can be a very good backup in this league. And I just think that she has been trapped on teams that have had very good front court players.
And congratulations to her.
And congratulations to her, Babby. She's back on the court now.
Yeah, she
played
had her first
5 minutes.
Back.
She just had a baby, didn't she?
Yep. Mm-hmm. She had a baby.
Congratulations.
I don't think they're married, but her anyway, the father of the baby is there at the games with the little baby and the like giant headphones all the time. It's so cute.
Nice.
You, like hang around near the bench. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that she can be a really good backup in the league. I just think that she needs some playing time and kind of to show what she can do. She's a really good pick and roll player. We can see what else she develops in her game. That's great. Joyner Holmes for me, seventh. So not too far off. I get the Joyner thing, especially given who's left. Who did you have for seventh, Becky?
I had Ruthie.
Oh, there you go. MJ?
Nice. I had Jasmine Jones for that year.
For that year.
I love Jazz Jones.
She was all rookie. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I picked her.
Well, if I was going to pick hypotheticals, then I would have at some point probably here, I would have picked Bella Allery and tried to convince her not to retire.
Okay.
Oh, I drafted Bella Allery.
Oh, did you?
Nice.
We all went by our own different roles here. I'm a slave to, did they actually want to play in the WNBA?
I mean, on my incredible team that's not the Dallas Wings, she would love it.
There you go. They would probably give her a front office position as well, just to put that Ivy League education to use. All right. So, all right. You had Ruthie seven. MJ, who did you have seven?
Jasmine,
that's it. Okay. Number eight, MJ, who did you have?
Uh-oh, I need help.
Okay.
I need help. Making sure I say her name right.
All right.
And it's a hypothetical pick because I've paid attention to,
I think we're going to go in the same direction here.
Doing my homework, and I just noticed she's doing nice overseas, but no one's given her an opportunity.
Yeah? Say it.
Katia?
Yes! I had her at number nine.
Yes. She needs to be picked up by somebody because
she has not played in the Solid. But I definitely want to see her play. I have some faith that she can be a shooter in this league.
Yes, definitely.
Just wrong team, wrong year, terrible timing. Going into the bubble, there was no way she was going to make it over anyway. And then she went to a team who was like, we're good. And that's like death. That's a death sentence. And then, you know, the Wings have a zillion Wings already in camp. So that probably led her to just be like, okay, we know she wants to come over. She's said she's waiting for her opportunity to get out here. I kind of wish she hadn't signed a deal with the Wings because they get to keep her rights. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but no, I'm a believer. I had her at number 9. I had Jocelyn Willoughby at number 8, by the way.
Huh.
I also had Jocelyn Willoughby at number 8. But I love the Kitchen Laksa love.
Yeah.
Yes. It hasn't played a game yet.
Laksa love.
We're hoping. Like
yeah.
Laksa love.
Laksa love. It's like a charity that donates hair for cancer patients. Laksa love. God. There you go. It's true. Nice. All right. Okay, number 10. Who did you have, Becky?
I think we skipped my 9. Oh, my number 9 was Jasmine Jones.
Jasmine Jones. Okay.
Okay.
And then my number 10 was Bella Allery.
Okay. Oh, all right. That's really nice. MJ, you had her the highest. Make the Jasmine Jones case. Was it just based on that year? Or do you feel
it was
that
just based on that year?
Place?
Yeah, okay. It was literally, but yeah. Her and Kennedy are that year. And I have Jocelyn at 9, and it's that year as well.
Yeah, I mean, she hasn't really gotten the opportunity to do much else since.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Jocelyn Willoughby at least has a place in the WNBA.
Yeah.
They as evident by the fact that they did extend her, that I think that they felt that. And then they all of a sudden got every free agent under the sun coming over, and they didn't have a place to really play her, unfortunately. I feel like she can play.
But she's still on the Liberty.
Yep, still on the Liberty.
Okay.
Still kicking
around. Just sounded like you were saying like she was not on the Liberty. Like she's
no.
On a WNBA team. She does play.
Yeah. I think that they would have dealt her though if they could have gotten somebody to take that contract. I feel like they would have done that. But they didn't. She's here. And then number 10 for me was Kayla Charles.
Okay. I have a
basically best of the rest. She's still around.
That's true. And I have Ruthie at my
team.
Oh,
okay. There you go. And Becky?
Bella Allery.
Bella Allery. That was it.
Nice.
Sorry. Yeah, that's right. yeah, that's cool. I like the Bella pick. And you're,
she was a great defensive big. I missed that. Anyway.
I do too. Yeah. Heartbroken. And I love your hypothetical GM. all right, we're gonna take a look briefly at 2021. We didn't do a top 10 because Jesus, God only knows with this group. But of the players still around, we have Ari McDonald, Michaela Onionware, Maya Caldwell, Dejanay Carrington, Ileana Rupert, Dana Evans, Awat Kuir. We had Arella Garantis playing this season, but she is no longer on a team. And I think that is it. There were 30 players total who played at least one game. There were 18. Wait, how many is this? Let me see real quick. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 24, I think, who only played. Or 23, I think, who only played even 10 games. A rough year. It's a rough year. Who is the best player to come out of this draft, Becky?
I'll say Dana.
You will.
I knew that.
I think Dana, Dejanay, and Michaela all have very good cases. But
yeah.
Dana is getting better every single year. She's being super annoying to everyone on defense this season, and I think she can keep going up. So
well, she started off poorly this season, but last year she was really, really solid. I'm not down.
When did Dana start off poorly this season?
No. I'm talking about the player I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Dana.
Dana started off great, and she's kind of gone a little down, but then Chicago is also like going through it. right now. Yeah. So I'm not docking her too much for that. Ari McDonald. Really bad start to the season, 5 games, and then she got hurt and she has left, I think, her shoulder or whatever, and she hasn't come back. Last year, really solid on offense and magnificent on defense. I thought for a while she was even potentially an all defense candidate. If she can get back there, you know, I'd rather look at those the games last year than the 5 games this year. In forecasting her, I think she might wind up being the best player to come out of this draft. What about you, MJ?
I mean, well, you guys got Dana and Ari.
You can pick one of them if you want. That's fine.
I'll go with DeJounay.
All right. That's fair, too. Yeah. I think she's really, really progressed this year.
Just to throw her out there. Just to put her out there for notoriety reasons.
Yeah. But anyway, curse draft. I kind of feel COVID. Like the bloom has fell off a little bit off of a whack, even though she's not that old still. But yeah, she's 21 this year, I believe.
Yeah,
but just yeah, it's just like she seems to just have kind of, you know, it doesn't seem to be any realistic level of improvement so far. And I think she's even taken a back seat overseas offensively, which means that, you know, she's not quite showing the development there either. But again, right. Only 21. We'll see how it goes going forward for her. All right. Now we're on up to 2022. Becky, who is your number one pick for the 2022 draft?
This was hard because I feel like the top three are definitely the top three, but where?
Yeah. Yeah.
I still stuck with Ryan as number one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm biased because I just saw her destroy my team, but
MJ?
Understood. I got Ryan Howard too.
Same here. Yeah. I feel like right now she's on the edge just of really exploding. That's what it feels like. She looks so comfortable out there. She looks like the game is moving in slow motion for her. Mm-hmm. I made a tweet and she actually liked the tweet. Retweeted it, saying that the second half was going to be the Renaissance.
I like that. I was late seeing it. I'm scrolling through Slack like, wait, what? Wow.
Yeah. Somebody must have like clued her in about it because she retweeted it. But anyway, number two, Becky, who did you have?
Shakira.
Same here, MJ.
Same here.
Hey, we are all in agreement.
Yes.
And I guess everybody had number three, Nalissa Smith, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Efficiency, defense. That's Shakira over Nalissa.
All day. That's really why she's two, because of the defensive purposes.
Yep.
And I was thinking too a little bit because, you know, I'm Mr. Indiana now. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what it would look like with Shakira's same like improvement if she was next to Aaliyah instead of Nalissa, what that would look like. It would be like you're not scoring on us in the paint.
they I think that
be
combination
a juicy squad.
Yeah, that combination still needs the right playmaker to kind of get everybody in their place, but yeah, I would love to see it. But yeah, Ryan Howard is making that Washington trade kind of look a little shaky because I think she's going to be super, super, super duper good. Now let's get to the real. This is where things start getting dicey. Who did you have for number four, Becky?
I went with Veronica Burden.
MJ?
Ooh. I have Lexi Hall.
Interesting. That is a really interesting pick. Yeah. I had Veronica as well. And this is getting down to where I see them right now. And obviously Dallas disagrees because they went and got Odyssey Sims and they're giving her a lot of VB's minutes. And from a stat standpoint and from an offensive standpoint, yeah, it makes sense. From a development of the future standpoint, it does not make sense. And I hate it. I hate it so much. VB should be getting these minutes and letting her work through and try, you know, let her be a contributor to this team. Let her be a contributor to this offense. I believe in her as a starting point guard. And that's, as we've discussed, it's kind of becoming a rare thing for young players to stick in that role. At the very least, she should be backing up Crystal Dangerfield and getting the majority of those minutes. And I don't like that. They've been going to Odyssey Sims. No disrespect to Odyssey Sims. So Lexi Hull, why did you go with her at number four?
Oh, no, I think I watched too much 3-on-3. I'm like real high on Lexi now. I'm like the Lexi lover. Lexi Brown, Lexi Hall. I love Lexi.
I love Lexi. I love Lexi. Becky, who did you have at number five?
I had Lexi Hall.
Wow. Nice. All right, both of you picked her ahead of me. Okay, all right. Fair enough.
I think I'm biased from I hear so much about her from MJ. I'm like, Lexi's doing good things.
Yeah.
The number four pick is not looking so... Or where was she? Number five? Number six?
Yeah, number five.
Yeah, not looking so weird anymore. Maybe.
Nice.
You're right. You know, that is true. I think we all had her out kicking her actual position so far, which is pretty impressive. Who did you have at number five, MJ?
I had Naz Hillman.
There you go. Okay. I had Queen Egbo. And I had at number six, I had Naz Hillman. And I had a devil of a time picking between the two of them.
Yeah.
Queen Egbo has played fewer. This is almost like entirely the reason was Queen Egbo has played fewer minutes than Naz Hillman and has more points and more rebounds than Naz Hillman.
Yeah.
And that was just basically it. I look at her and I see a super athletic player. I am having a real hard time committing to the Fever, man, because that was a fleecing. Giving her up for Amanda Zowie B. I don't get it. I don't understand it. All respect to Amanda Zowie B, who is a very, very awesome person and a lot of fun on Twitter and so on and so forth. Love to have her in the locker room. Does not really contribute on the defensive end. The only thing that she has is the 3-point shot, and it's not the most accurate thing in the world either. I don't get this trade for Indiana. Queen Egbo has way more potential going forward. They seem to just kind of be disregarding that and saying, like that's the best you could do for Queen Egbo. That makes no sense to me. And then, that was it. Naz Hillman, a really good start last year. I thought she played great. This year, a little down on the defensive end, but her story is not written yet. But I like both of those two as rotation picks around the league. Who did you have at number six, Becky?
I did the same order. I had Egbo and then Hillman.
Okay, so six and seven. Egbo. Yeah. Okay, and then MJ?
I have Veronica Burton.
There you go. She showed up.
Yes.
And then to close the circle at number seven, I had Lexi Hull. And the only thing holding me back on Lexi Hull is the shot, because the shot has not manifested itself a whole lot yet. But she's already a really good defensive player. She needs the shot to stick, I think. And that's the only worry that I have for her. Super athletic, very tenacious defender, just getting better and better by the game. Needs a shot. Any kind of shot. Average shot would be perfectly fine, but she needs it to manifest. Okay, and then so you had Naz Hillman, Becky, and MJ. Who did you have at seven?
At seven, I have Queen Egbo.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Okay. Number eight, MJ, who'd you have?
Ruh-roh.
Go on.
Olivia Nelson-Odota.
Not too bad. She made my top 10.
Nice.
I also had her at number eight.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Okay, I don't feel weirded out.
I think she's
been
doing good things in Connecticut.
Yes. Yeah. No, I totally agreed.
I wouldn't have had her at eight until, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, same.
Show it out.
That's the same.
I totally agree. I had her at 10, but at number eight, maybe call me a giant homer. I have Kirsten Bell.
Okay.
The Kirsten Bell has not played a whole lot, and it's totally understandable why she hasn't played a whole lot.
Yeah.
When she plays,
she performs
with the starters. I really like what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I like the off-ball movement. I love the athleticism. The shot is. It needs to come along, and I think a shot doctor, whoever Jackie had worked with, I think it was Tyler Marsh. Tyler Marsh needs to start working with Kirsten Bell on that shot. If that shot comes along, I like everything else. I love her off-ball play. She's made some great cuts. She's had a little trouble finishing at the rim. The AU season, she was magnificent and played mostly power forward doing that. So I just have really good feeling about her. This is a going forward pick. Obviously, she hasn't had the opportunity to show a whole lot, But hopefully she'll get to stick around on the Aces and, you know, get her minutes up and keep developing. Becky, who'd you have? Or you haven't said yet. Who'd you have at 8?
I had Ono at 8, and then I had Kirsten Bell at 9.
There you go.
I see the same thing. She's not playing very much, but, like, I like it when she does. So
there you go. There you go. And MJ at 9?
Well, I'm one behind you guys with Kirsten.
Okay, that's fair.
I picked Nyara Sobley.
I have her at 9. So we're not too far apart. And it's mostly based on potential because she's kind of in the same boat as Kirsten, but she's getting a little bit more of a chance, right? She's on a good team and there are a lot of good bigs ahead of her. She's kind of moved up in the rotation ahead of Han Shu in the big rotation.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, we're kind of waiting to see what her game actually is. And this is kind of just based a little bit on pedigree, 5 pick, obvious athlete. We're still waiting to see what it looks like, how it manifests. So I'm pegging upside here for 10 or 9. And 10, I had Olivia Nelson-Adota for all the reasons. She's just, she looks like she's a player. So it looks like a rotation player, good backup center, which is nothing to sneeze at. All right. Did we 9. Who was 10 for you, Becky?
Jade Melbourne.
Nice.
I love it. I love it. I almost picked her. Yeah. Young point guards. What are you seeing that leads you to drafting her at this spot?
Maybe I'm too charmed by the Seattle team. I realize like maybe Nyara Sobley should be in this spot now that I'm hearing it out loud. But I'm sticking with
I love that pick though. 19-year-old point guard.
She's young and she's doing well. I think she can keep going, keep developing. I also think Sobley could keep developing, so I'm not sure.
Right.
But Jade.
And then MJ, you had Kirsten at 10?
Yeah, I got Kirsten at 10.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there you go.
I wanted to try to, I'm kind of biased with it, but I wanted Emily to get in there somewhere because I know what she's capable of.
She's on my honorable mentions.
Yeah, she's on mine too because she's like a Kayla, like Thornton type to me. You know, like you give her a couple years and then she'll be making that three and she's hustling for rebounds and mucking it up on defense. Like, I wish someone would play her the way that she can play and let her play that way. I don't know why Indiana got rid of her like that, but because they can use her real bad right now. And
I think there are a lot of players who've been kind of left on the cutting room, literally, floor here. Destiny Henderson.
Yeah,
Fever just Destiny. Discarding these young players left and right. Aisha Shepherd, who was cut by the Aces, who I feel is the WNBA shooter, which is the rest of her game that needs to catch up. We got Jasmine Dickey, recently cut by Dallas. It's just, there was opportunity here to let some players develop and not immediately go to veterans who have been around, and we kind of know what their ceiling is.
Personally. One more honorable mention. Yeah, Sika Kone.
There you go. Yeah.
She's
nice.
She's still got those baby deer legs out there, but I think she's got a lot of potential. She's still really young.
Just don't shine headlights on her. And
I don't know. That's like the best way I could describe it, because she just like trips a lot. Like it's like more often than you regularly see WNBA players tripping. Like she's just sometimes uncoordinated, but then sometimes like she's got good moves and she's got good hustle and you can see how she develop into a really good player, but sometimes she just like kind of just falls over. You're like, okay, so you got to get your legs under you first.
I do like James Wade just like pumping her up. Oh, if she was born in Chicago or Miami, she would have been a top 3 pick. I'm like, James, I hope you would not have played Shakira Austin 5 minutes per game. I hope
Facts.
That's the case.
For real.
But yeah, it was just a little overselling it. That's okay. Pump up her confidence. Go on.
Shout out to Becky calling her Bambi Kone.
Bambi.
I just wanted to say that.
It's well, affectionate, though. Bambi yeah. Kone.
Bambi
parentheses Kone. Affectionate. I really like Sika Kone.
Now I'm wondering which WNBA player is Thumper. Maybe we'll handle that. Which one's Thumper? Which one's Flower?
I think Taylor Soul could be a Thumper.
Thumper.
Nice.
I see them hanging out. As I mentioned before, Taylor Soul has great bench energy, like gets along with all the players. I see her and Sika hanging. So maybe she's
one thing I just kind of loved it was when
and she's got the hops.
I can't remember if she was with Minnesota at the time, wherever she was, when she played here. Her and Kirsten Bell were guarding each other. And they were just talking to each other good naturedly, like the whole time up and down the court. They were just like, like they were having a conversation, you know, at the local bar or something. It was really.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, I love that.
I hope it's always good to see best that. Friends.
So, you make me want to sing that best friend song, but I don't know the first few words of it. So I won't do it. He said, oh, no.
The only thing stopping you. Once you get that lyric sheet, you're.
All right. Yeah. You can bring it next week. This was a lot of fun. So thank you all for joining us for another episode of Six Pot a Year as we discuss recent draft picks. And you can kind of see, you know, taking the temperature of a number of young players currently around the league. Kind of where. To think of all the missed opportunities we've had for some players to still be here who are not here. It's been wild. That 2020 draft in particular just feels so surreal with the number of players who could be around and are not. Just on top of that, a condolences to the families and friends and everybody who was touched by Nikki McRae-Penson. It really sucks to lose a member of the WNBA community. She was before my time. I really wish that the WNBA would, you know, do some, maybe some video packages or, you know, contract with somebody who does video packages to kind of let us see these players in action, just get some idea of how they play their game and everything. That would be awesome. I was really touched by a lot of the tributes, things that like Dawn Staley, Asia Wilson, and a few other players had to say about McRae. I thought that was really, really sweet. Really, really nice. And, you know, rest in power.
I'm gonna propose something. It would be nice if the W had like its own like G League, and it can be like four teams. Let them compete in like the Commissioner's Cup. And
that'd be interesting.
If they win or finish as like second, maybe third, maybe two of its teams could flirt with the potential to go to the playoffs, like kind of set it up kind of like how soccer is.
Well, here's an idea that I've had for a while. And I like this in practically any league you can name. I like the idea of an extra team. And this team doesn't have a home arena. All it does is play on the road. And travels everywhere. And it is the players, whatever players are just out of the league. And if players need call-ups, right? If players need call-ups, they're going to have an idea of which players are performing and which players are doing well because they'll be in there as part of the schedule. So like we would have 13 teams. The 13th team would be this team of, you know, your Emily Engsler. She's on a roster right now. Yeah, the Island of Misfit Toys a little bit. And they're not expected to do good. They're just going to go out there. You're going to get to see, you know, you people in Phoenix will get to see your team, like, whoop somebody every once in a while. But you'll also see, like, the players who are on this team and who's doing well and who's actually performing. And maybe they're called up to another team and somebody goes down and then they're like, all right, we'll grab that
pick
person.
Somebody up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody gets a minimum salary commensurate with whatever. Every team gets like, you know, I'm not going to call it a freebie. When they win, it'll be awesome. Every time they win, if a team, like a player plays so well, they're probably going to get picked up. But, you know, if they make like an all-star team or something, even if they start their season there and make an all-star team, that would be kind of rad too.
Yeah.
It's just something. It's like probably economically infeasible. This team just like flying all over the place everywhere, never getting a chance to rest. But I also think that it would be kind of cool.
And I think that team would actually win some games.
Oh, it probably would.
If we made an honorary, like, outcast team right now of players that aren't playing right now because they either got picked up just for injury reasons and dropped off. I think they can, yeah, they can make it interesting. That would be fun.
Maybe Kit Laxa would be here somewhere.
Yes, somewhere ASAP. Maybe she can go to Chicago while Izzy's out. Seriously.
Something. That's, yeah. There's like, there's players that the teams could use. That's why I was a little bummed that, she got her rights taken up by the Wings and is like not capable of signing
anywhere else. The worst place ever to have your rights at.
Damn you, Greg Bibb!
That's why he's my nemesis.
That's it. I got the number. I pulled the little ticker from behind you. I'm ready to line up with my hammer. <Becky's done>. Anyway, this has been the sixth podcast of the year, the Greg Bibb Hatinous podcast around. We will be back. We'll probably talk about the All-Star game next week and discuss like the second half of the season and stuff. Yeah, that sounds like a topic. I just came up with that right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sounds good. We will reach out. We'll see if we can bring you some more guests. We maybe have a couple from the podcast that we just did. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, that's it. It's been the sixth podcast of the year. Thank you, everybody. As I always say, be good to each other. Please be good to each other. Just make the world a little better place.
A better place.
Don't at players on Twitter while you're talking shit about them.
Yeah. Thanks. What is that? Yeah, don't at players unless, you know, you're specifically addressing them for a specific reason and not to, you know, read some stats about them or something like that. It's so weird. I don't get it.
Yes.
I don't get it. This is not something you need to clue them in. Hey, did you know you're shooting 20% in the fourth quarters of games? About that. No. Stop doing that. Anyway, yeah, that's it. Everybody, be good to each other. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
Peace out.
Goodbye.